You're listening to Missional Church Multiplication Week on the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Boom.
My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here together with Todd Adkins.
What?
See, I was surprised that you said boom and not what, but then you did it.
Well, yeah, I had to wait for my introduction.
Yes, that's awesome.
I mean, that's how it rolls.
Well, this episode 91 is the third episode this week that we have released. We usually do 2 week, but it's only Wednesday, and we're actually going to go to 5 because it's Missional Church Multiplication Week, baby.
That's right. I love the baby.
Baby?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
You got to drop in resources to make up for that.
Yes.
I don't really know.
Everything's being shooken up, right? No resources.
Shooken up? Shaken up. It's shake and bake, and I hail.
Shake and bake, baby. Shake and bake. Okay, so this week, if you go to newchurches.com/missional church multiplication, that's one of our premier courses on church planting and on multiplication that we are highlighting as a result of this week. And we're actually playing a little bit of each 5 of those modules each week this week. Now, what is this course about? It's not just about church multiplication, and it's not just about being missional, but this course is actually intended to help your church transition to becoming more missional. So this course is not just about church planting, although it will help you if you want to plant a missional church. And it's not just about incarnational practices. It's actually, if you are an existing church, if you're a pastor of an existing church, this course will help you transition your church to become more missional. It'll help you develop missional leaders in your church and understand how to engage your local community and culture missionally. So that's what this course is all about. Now, let me read a testimony for you from Michael Pumphrey, who's a church planter of Awaken Church in Virginia Beach. As the culture around us is continually changing, we, the church, need to stop trying to create all the same people with all the same thinking. The teachings within these modules were helpful to reimagine who the church is called to be while enlarging our imagination for God's people. Until this takes place within our churches, we will not reach the lost and broken world around us effectively. The practitioners through this course have enlarged my imagination for God's church, and I believe the same will be true for you. And that's our hope as well. If you buy this course before midnight tonight Central, then here's the deal. Here's a special deal only for today. Are you ready, Todd?
I'm ready.
All right. If you use the coupon code Mega Missional, you like that?
Mega Missional.
Yes.
Eminem.
Yeah. Mega Missional. If you buy the course before midnight tonight, that's August 10, and use the coupon code Mega Missional, then you will receive 20% off the course.
Boom.
That's over $100. Now, if you're a Plus member, you can actually use the coupon code Mega Missional and get 20% off. And you can use your Plus member specific discount code and get an additional 25% off. So that's
all right,
you can get 40. You can get the course only by midnight tonight. And this is actually going to be the largest financial discount on the course this week. So tomorrow,
you will still have other incentives.
Yes, tomorrow and the day after, we're going to pack it on with other incentives. But if you are just trying to save a buck, then today before midnight is going to be the biggest discount you're
crazy,
ever going to
get. And yesterday you didn't do the coaching call.
Yeah, because yesterday.
Dude, that's what I'd be most excited about.
Yeah, you're
when
right.
else am I going to get one of those guys on the phone?
Yeah, because not only will that cost you regularly over $100 just to have coaching calls with any
expert,
but these guys are missional practitioners who are doing this.
But that's not today, so sorry.
Yeah.
It's painful for bringing that up.
Yeah, but today, so that's where every day is a unique meal, but today, use the coupon code MEGAMISSIONAL. But without further ado, let's listen to Aaron Graham on money and mission.
Second to only the kingdom of God, Jesus talked about money more than any other topic. I believe there's about 2,000 verses in scripture that talk about money and possessions and how we handle our finances. And so Jesus wasn't afraid to bring it up. And I don't think that Jesus talks about money so much because money is the most important thing to God. But I think he talks about it so much because he knows that too often it's the most important thing to us. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so where our treasure is, where our attention is, where we spend our time, where we spend our devotion. And so Jesus has to talk about money so that he can then pivot and talk about what he really wants to talk about, which is our hearts. And so it was true 2,000 years ago, and I think it remains true for us today. Money is neutral. It's neither good or bad. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so money has to do with the person who's handling and stewarding it. That's when it becomes used for good or used for evil. So that's kind of the backdrop of my story and some of just the biblical foundation. Jesus talks about it a lot, as we know. Let's get into some very practical pieces as it relates to talking about money and mission in the context of church planning. So if you're a church planner, I don't know where you are on the journey as you're watching this, but a lot of us, talking about money starts with raising external support. So even before the congregation has formed, how do we raise money from our friends and our family? And just 3 points to make on this. The first thing is that you must be called. You must be called. I mean, I think that next to public speaking and snakes, fundraising is probably the thing that we fear the most in life. And so you want to know that you are called to this work, because believe me, this is not easy work to go to your friends and to go to your family and invite them to be a part of this work. You have to be willing to bet your life on the mission and the vision that God has given you for that. The second thing is that you must believe in your vision. You must believe in the vision God has given you, and you must believe in it more than corporations believe in the products that they're marketing. Guys, we have the best story in the world to tell people about and to invite them into this eternal story. And all these other marketing groups, I mean, we get like something like 2,000 advertisements a day that are marketed to us, right? And they're promising eternal bliss if we purchase their products and all these things. And yet, it's all false, right? That does not bring happiness. We have to be willing to believe in the vision that God has given us so that we can look people in the eyes and invite them into this ministry to be a part of this work. The third thing is that you must be willing to build the relationships. So much of fundraising is relationships, relationships and vision, relationships and vision, relationships and vision. And so build the relationships. You do not want to have a transactional relationship with somebody where you only have a relationship with somebody based on what they can do for you. That's not what we see in Scripture. That's not the model that we see Christ exemplifying for us. And so you have to know people well enough so that you discover their values as you get to know them, so that when you make an ask, it's not just about what they can do for you, but it's actually also what you can do for them, because you're inviting them to express their values through a financial and a prayer partnership with you. And I think so often we don't really know the people, even in our closest family and our friends, we don't know what makes their heart beat. We don't know what they have an affinity for. And so we can fear making those asks. So you must build the relationship. And the biggest thing that I always tell people, church planners, as it relates to raising external support, is that you have to have face-to-face time with people. Gone are the days where you can just send out a support letter and post it on Facebook and send a bunch of emails and expect to get fully funded from that. You might be able to get some low-hanging fruit there, but it's really when you sit down face-to-face with people and you share their story and you let them know that this is important enough to you to have a phone call or to have a one-on-one meeting or to invite people to a dinner gathering where you cast a vision and collectively give them the opportunity to make a pledge and to make a commitment that night. So much of giving is emotional for people. Whether we want to think that or not, so much of it is, you know, that's why if you say, you know, there's 100,000 refugees that are fleeing Syria this month, people are going to feel like kind of overwhelmed. But if there's the one picture of the one little boy, I believe a 3 or 4 year old boy that washed up onto the shores of Europe, it's like that compels us to say, what can we do? How can we give to this crisis in Syria? It's the same way in church planning. If you can tell one story about one life, if you can connect with people emotionally, then they're going to be much more likely to give, especially in the information age when people are overloaded with things. So as you raise external support, make sure that you're building the relationships, getting the face time with people, having those dinner gatherings, having those phone calls, having those coffee meetings as well. All right, next step, how do you preach on money? How do you preach on money? If you are committed to discipleship, then you have to be committed to talking about one of the greatest idols of our culture, and that is money. It's really important when you preach and you teach on money to not just do messages on generosity and giving. I mean, those are going to be, that's where you're going to feel like we need to teach our congregation to give, but you need to zoom out and have a bigger stewardship framework. You do need to talk about giving and generosity, but that doesn't need to be the only thing. And in America, we're saddled with debt. And so you need to help people learn how to create a budget and track their expenses and save and get out of debt. It's really hard to challenge people to give extravagantly and generously when they have. In our church, people have tens and thousands of dollars of student loans. And so we actually just took 40 people through Dave Ramsey's financial peace class, and we had never done that. We didn't want to do like somebody else's curriculum for 5 years. We just had 40 people sign up for it, and we took them through it over this 9 weeks. And out of those 40 households, there was $2 million of non-mortgage debt. And in 9 weeks, we erased $100,000 of that. But the bigger thing was that we corrected the course for so many families and young adults who felt like they were drowning and there was no way out of their debt. There was no way they were going to be saving. And many of them are excited to figure out how to come up with a down payment to purchase a house in DC, the most expensive real estate market, really almost in the country today. So we got to talk about it and teach people to give, to save, and then to live. I mean, there's so many just different principles. There's some great teachers that are out there and preachers that can kind of give you some handles about how to talk about this. But the biggest thing is that your people are thinking about money every day. It touches every part of our lives. And so you need to get ahead of that and teach it, even starting with your core team and your launch team. Next thing I want to talk about is cultivating next level givers. And so a lot of times people ask me, what do you challenge people to give? When you're talking about giving and generosity and trying to cultivate that culture of stewardship in your congregation, how do you talk about this? Well, for most people, it's hard to go from not giving to tithing overnight. Now, there's some people that can do that, can go from 0 to 10% like overnight. But for the average person, that's a really big jump, practically speaking, as they're going through their budget. And so one of the things that Steve Stroop, who's the pastor of Lake Point Church outside of Dallas, has taught me to do, and so many other church planners, he wrote a book called Money Matters in the Church. It's by Aubrey Malford's and Steve Stroop's great practical book. But one of the things that he does, and this is reinforced in Nelson Searcy's book called Maximize, which is a great framework for this, is that they challenge people to go to the next level in their giving. So you want to challenge, there's four different areas: first-time givers, regular givers, tithers, and extravagant givers. First-time givers, regular givers, tithers, and extravagant givers. And so a first-time giver is someone who, you know, probably historically in their life, they give sporadically, they give emotionally. And so you just want to get them to give a first-time gift to the church. Now, rarely is that first-time gift going to be made to the general budget, right? This is where special offerings can oftentimes be the hook for somebody to go online and give for the first time or put money in the offering plate for the first time, where it's maybe not just a dollar out of their wallet, but it's like in an envelope or something. And so one of the things that we've done in our church is we have one or two special offerings every year. We always have one around Christmas time during the Advent season, which we call our Advent offering, where we raise as much money for the poor in DC and across the world, and we give it all away. So it's all externally given. It's like nobody can argue with the groups that we're giving to and the causes that we're giving to. And we challenge everybody in the church to give. We say not everybody can give the same amount of money, but everybody can give something. And so this is a great way. I mean, we did a famine relief offering a year into our church. 120 people gave, which was about the size of our church then, gave $15,000. And it inspired these people beyond our church so much that it ended up getting matched to be $100,000 because they saw how all these 20-somethings gave. And that was such a faith builder for us as a church. And there's so many people that gave for the first time. So give people opportunities to give for the first time. And oftentimes special offerings can be that incentive. You want to do the special offering because of the cause, not because to get first time givers. It's just one of the benefits of doing specific things like that is oftentimes people will give for the first time.
No, I love that. I love Aaron's points on money and mission. I mean, my favorite quote of his is second only to the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about money more than any other topic.
And how that is one of the least talked about subjects in our churches. Yeah. Like if he wasn't afraid to do it, we shouldn't be afraid to do it either. One of the things that's striking me right now is, it hasn't been too long ago. I read, Vanderblumen's book on succession. Mm. And it's primarily talking about senior pastor succession. And so what I find to be strangely disheartening, I don't even know if that's, no, I just find it disheartening that you have some pastors, many pastors can't afford to retire.
Yeah.
They cannot afford to retire because of debt. Because they don't have their house paid off, or because they didn't save for retirement, and they turn around and they're like, "Hey, I can't even financially afford to develop a succession plan and give my church away." When the reality is, we're all in an interim position. We're gonna die at some point, even if we die with the mic on. And so the thing that I'm walking away with is how many people are struggling with student debt coming in to church planting, and you limit your ability to plant a church. Yeah. You limit yourself to what you can give if you struggle with that debt. And then I know very well, I lived in DC for almost 10 years, and that area is rampant with people who are house poor. With people who are, and by house poor, I mean your mortgage takes up so much of your budget because it is an expensive city to live in that you end up living, you know, off of credit cards and other very unhealthy practices. So it's a struggle. And I think it's a struggle for our pastors, but it's also a struggle for our congregation. And we do them a great disservice if we don't help them in that process. And we're basically robbing them of, you know, a key act of worship.
Yeah. So that and more is in the course at newchurches.com/missional-church-multiplication. That was only a snippet of what Aaron said. There's a lot more to that. And in fact, every module in this course comes with handouts and downloadable templates. So as a part of this one for Aaron's, if you purchase the course, you'll actually get their church financial policy, a sample central services budget, a sample church plant budget, articles and other things to help you as you deal with and work through money and mission. But if you purchase a course tonight before midnight central and use the coupon code Mega Missional, that's one word, Mega Missional, then you can get 20% off of the course. And if you're a Plus member, you can actually add your Plus member discount coupon as well and get an additional 25% off as well. But that's only for tonight. Well, tomorrow we're going to be back with David Fitch on bivocational ministry. So this is going to be good stuff, man.